CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor from the surface of the planet Earth, Boca Chica, Texas. A vision of the future. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. He's here to reintroduce us to tomorrow via SpaceX. Bob, what am I looking at on your page? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yes, this is a spectacular picture. It's a screen capture from a video, a drone video that Elon Musk sent out on a tweet. It's a picture of Starship stacked on top of Super Heavy on the launch pad at Boca Chica, Texas. This is in preparation for the orbital attempt launch of these two prototype units. They hope to launch on April 10th, early next week, but they still don't have an FAA license issued yet. And SpaceX is okay with that, because what they're going to do is they prep this, put it on the launch pad, because they're going to do a dress rehearsal countdown, which is standard procedure for them anyway before a launch. And that means they'll fuel the rocket, they'll do a simulated countdown, not simulated, an actual countdown, right? They'll T-minus zero, and they might even fire the rockets for a second, and then they'll stop. And that's just to see everything's okay. And then if that is okay, which should be based upon previous static fire test of Super Heavy, they will be ready to launch. And they are targeting April 17th, assuming the FAA gets the permit issued. This is a gentle way that SpaceX and Elon Musk apply pressure to the government. They're not defying the government in any way, but they are making a very public show of how they are ready to go as soon as the government is done. And even though I'm certain that there are forces within the Biden administration working to slow SpaceX down and sabotage it, the best they can do at this stage is tell the FAA you dot every I and cross every T and do it as slowly as you can. But with this situation now and the public excited about this, it puts pressure on the Biden administration's people who like to slow things down, and the FAA people don't really want to do that. So I expect them to get their license sometime in the next week and this launch to happen. And if the launch happens, Starship will go into orbit and it'll complete almost a full orbit and then come back in the Pacific northwest of Hawaii, assuming everything works. And if it doesn't work, that's good. They'll just figure out what went wrong, and they're ready to have another Starship Super Heavy waiting in the wings, ready to go.
So we're looking at the week of the 17th. For the actual liftoff, is that correct, Bob?
That's at least what we know now. Obviously, that could wait another week. It all depends on the federal government squelching freedom or not.
Bob, we go from Starship ready to launch to Axiom setting a date for a manned flight to the ISS. Remind us what Axiom is.
Axiom is a private company, commercial private company, that's building its own space station modules to attach to ISS that will eventually be detached and be an independent space station. And they've already flown several, one commercial flight to ISS. They hired SpaceX's Falcon 9 and one of its Dragon capsules to do that. And that commercial flight stayed for about 17 days on ISS and came back. And so now they've announced the launch date for their second commercial flight to ISS, May 8th. It's going to carry a pilot, former NASA pilot, Peggy Whitson, as per NASA's requirements, which is okay. And then three passengers, two of which are from Saudi Arabia. And the third, John Schaffner. Schaffner is a paying passenger who actually flew the last time, and he's now making his second paid flight, and they're actually giving him the job of co-pilot because he is a former jet pilot and knows what he's doing. The two Arabs that are going to go will be the first Saudi Arabian astronauts, I think. But more important, one's a woman. That's the first Arab woman, Saudi woman to fly. And during this flight on ISS, there'll be three Arabs on board because the UAE paid SpaceX to launch one of their astronauts to ISS for a six-month mission. And he's there right now and getting ready to do his first spacewalk. And so it's commercial space. Things are happening. They're selling tickets and people are going into space.
Now, a really good story with UA and Arizona. This is a wonderful combination of a university and a company building what, Bob? What is the ambition?
The University of Arizona this week opened a major facility for building and launching satellites. There's no company specifically involved with the operations of this. It's the university that's operating it, John. But what it is designed to make money as well as teach students. So this facility has a thermal vacuum chamber. It has a 40-foot high payload assembly area for putting satellites and stratospheric balloons together. It has CubeSat laboratories so students and commercial CubeSat companies can assemble satellites. It's got a whole range of the various assembly and testing facilities that satellite companies need for launch. And what the university is going to do is they're going to do two things. One, they'll use it to teach students. And it allows students to build their own CubeSats and test them for launch. And even as a mission control there, they can even fly them from this facility. But they'll also rent the facility out to commercial satellite companies for their use. And that'll help pay for the student work. And it'll also provide the student work, probably internship with commercial companies at the same time. It's brilliant. It's good. And it also illustrates it's another illustration of the burgeoning space industry. The UA wouldn't have gotten money to build this if the UA's management didn't recognize that there's money to be made with a facility like this. And there are more. They need it because they got more students who want to do this kind of stuff.
Bob, they will attract a commercial business, yes? I mean, this is a...
Oh, there's no doubt about this. In fact, when talking to them, they have a problem because they could literally rent this out full-time, all the facilities, without any problem. That would be a problem because they want to reserve some for the students, which... there's time when they don't make money on it, and they have to balance the two. They will balance the two. It's a good setup.
I'm struck by the universities that are coming forward to emphasize that we're about outer space, rocket engineering, exploration. University of Arizona is one. Carnegie Mellon talks about it, although they're very heavy into robotics. Can you think of another university that matches UA's commitment to space launching?
John, off the top of my head, I cannot remember names, but there have been universities now for decades. Surrey in England led the way with CubeSats, and they've been using these for decades to teach students how to build satellites, making CubeSats. What's happening, though, is because of the drop in launch costs, it's now becoming there's a growth in the satellite industry because things that couldn't afford to get launched before and make money now can launch and make money. And so there's a growth. And the growth requires not only these facilities, but it also requires an increased capability of teaching the students who will go into the field. And so that's why this is happening.
And we have a startup, Dawn Aerospace, New Zealand. To do what, Bob?
Well, we'll see if they'll really do this. I reported on this back in 21 when they first released a video showing their mini prototype space plane flying about. But it was really, everything about it looked like it was nothing more than a model airplane. And it wasn't using rocket engines, it was using jet engines. Well, they've now flown a small-scale prototype using their rocket engine. And these are test flights, and they went up to, a few thousand feet, and they hope to get up to about 100 kilometers using this test vehicle. And then they'll build a full-scale model to do suborbital flights for testing and for research purposes, and eventually scale up to orbital. Once again, they're very far from actually flying, but, you know, they've gotten $20 million investment capital, and they're actually flying something, so give them credit for that.
Now, two stories about Virgin Orbit or Virgin Orbit's spaceport that isn't going to happen. What is Virgin Orbit? What happened, Bob?
Well, Virgin Orbit went into bankruptcy, and it went into bankruptcy because of the interference and refusal of the United Kingdom's Civil Aviation Authority to issue a launch permit for more than a year. It took them a year to put this launch permit together, and in the process, Virgin Orbit was ready to launch from Cornwall, England, and couldn't launch. And because it couldn't launch, it couldn't launch anything else, and so therefore it didn't get any revenue, and it basically ran out of money and went bankrupt. Well, so two stories related to this. One is The bankruptcy of Virgin Orbit is really impacting two Japanese companies, one which partnered with a Japanese airport that hoped to launch Virgin Orbit satellites from there. These are now one of the top six creditors in the bankruptcy. Whether they can get money back is really a question. And we're talking about millions of dollars. It's not big money, but one's a CubeSat company that is a startup, and the other's related to the airport. They were hoping they would get lots of tourism there. I think they were fantasizing. An air-launched from a plane launch is not particularly exciting to watch, and so after a few launches, no one's going to really come. But nonetheless, they're hurt by this. And the second story having to do with, kind of related to Virgin Orbit, has to do really with the Civil Aviation Authority. There's a new Shetland spaceport being built in Scotland called Saxaford, and they hope to have at least one launch before the end of the year. The company is scheduled to do this. It's a German rocket startup, Rocket Factory Augsburg. The problem is that, guess what? The Civil Aviation Authority of the UK has not yet issued the launch permit, and they've had the paperwork for this since November of 22. It's 6 months later. They still haven't issued a launch permit. Now, this is not a launch permit specifically for the rocket launch. It's a permit for the spaceport itself. Meanwhile, Rocket Factory Augsburg has got to get its own launch license from the CAA, and I have doubts they will. I think right now that almost all space operations in the UK are going to be stymied by the CAA bureaucracy, and they're going to be beaten by other operations. For example, there are spaceports in Norway and Sweden that have only announced their existence in the last 6 months, and I think they'll both get a launch first.
And Bob, the concern about Virgin Orbit, we've never really got any details, but it was an unusual launch system. In other words, an airplane, a very big airplane, to take the rocket to a stage where it fires off. That is unusual in that there's the one Stratolaunch has something like that, doesn't it?
No, actually, John, this is not, it's not done often, but it's not, they were not the first to do it. Pegasus, by originally Orbital ATK, has been launching from a plane since the early 80s. But their rocket was very expensive, so no one was buying it to launch. Virgin Orbit proposed to create this Launcher One system, lifting off from a 747, to do small sats and to do it cheaply. And they built it, and they launched it, and they successfully launched, I think, six times, which is another reason why it made no sense to take so long to give them a launch license, because they had proven they knew what they were doing. Even with the failure of that launch from Cornwall, it didn't do any harm. They destroyed it over the ocean, and nothing was harmed by it. So it always comes back to this bureaucracy in England, squelching space in England.
China trying a vertical landing with this very small rocket. Is this indicating that they're going for recovery like SpaceX? Can we tell?
Oh, yeah. In fact, if you look at the picture I've got on Behind the Black of this small rocket, it's only about 10 feet high. And you look at the top of it, you'll see what looks like a prototype capsule. And if you look at it very closely, you'll say, oh, my gosh, that looks exactly like a Dragon capsule with extra windows. That's exactly right. They're copying SpaceX everywhere down the line. This is actually their version of a small grasshopper, SpaceX's grasshopper, which they use to test vertical landing. And what they did here is they successfully tested a vertical takeoff and landing from a barge at sea. The whole test took about 10 minutes. It's a very small rocket, but it's a prototype with a single engine on board. They had engines like SpaceX did with Grasshopper, that's the Falcon 9, and they have a full-size rocket doing this exact thing. The people who did it was the commercial division of the Chinese Academy of Sciences, which makes believe it's a private company. It really isn't. I have a fear. They have already shown models of their fleet of rockets they intend to build, all of which look like identical SpaceX Falcon 9. So I think, and Falcon Heavies. So they're pushing for this, and I think they're going to do it. It'll take them a few more years, but I give them credit on one thing. There are no American companies right now who've successfully done this with intents to upscale to a rocket. It's none of the rocket companies in the U.S. are doing this yet. And I give the Chinese credit for moving forward to do it, even if they are copying SpaceX.
And finally, Bob, one of those independent companies in China has succeeded. What scale of rocket are they launching?
This is a small sat rocket. It only puts up small sats. The fake company is called iSpace. They launched their rocket for the first time in 2019 successfully and were the first pseudo company in China to do so. But then they failed three straight times. They now successfully have launched. They didn't have a payload this time because they wanted to demonstrate that it would work finally. It is a solid rocket, which means it comes from missile technology, which means this company is really a division of the Chinese government. They launched from an interior spaceport, which means they dumped their stages on China, and it's all typical stuff from China.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. I'm John.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.